I'm Marty Moscowane. Welcome to Ballot Talks on Radio Times. A few generations ago, Republicans controlled much of what went on in Philadelphia. Today, it's the Democrats who dominate city politics. They also hold a 7-to-1 registration advantage over the GOP. But that doesn't mean that voters are entirely satisfied with Democratic dominance in Philadelphia. So how can the local GOP position itself as a viable alternative? Today on Ballot Talks, we'll talk about efforts to rebuild the Republican Party in the city. The field of GOP candidates running this year will learn about some of their solutions to Philadelphia's biggest problems and their plans to invigorate voters. And we have three Republicans joining us in this hour on Radio Times, two of whom are with us here in our Philadelphia studio. Joe DeFelice is a local attorney, also executive director of the Philadelphia Republican City Committee, and he's leader of the city's 64th Ward. Joe DeFelice, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Dave Crawley. He's a lobbyist with Triad Strategies, also a Republican state committeeman. He ran for state representative for the state's 169th legislative district in 2012. Dave Crawley, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be here.
And joining us by telephone is Seth Coffer. He's a physician, a Republican leader of the city's second ward. He was also an alternative delegate to the 2012 Republican National Convention. And Seth Coffer, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thanks a lot.
And we want to hear from the Republicans in our audience. We also want to hear from folks who might be undecided which party they would like to affiliate with. And that phone number is 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Joe DeFelice, tell us, what is the Republican Party in Philadelphia today?
The Republican Party of Philadelphia today is the opposition party. Over the last some odd 50-some-odd years, we have not necessarily been that loyal opposition. I believe we're starting to change that, putting forth quality candidates, quality issues, talking about and the Democrats have not done themselves a disservice, and we need to hold them accountable. Every time they raise a tax, every time someone else gets indicted, we need to make sure we point it out so that there is a true opposition party in the city of Philadelphia.
And Dave, why are you a Republican? What makes you a Republican?
I am a local – I call myself a local municipal Republican. I feel as if we have a different way of doing things, as I discussed earlier. At the end of the day, there's no difference between Republicans and Democrats in what we want the government to do locally. We want safe streets. We want a solid education. We want our roads paved and such. We just have a different way of getting there. And if you look to the suburbs that have been dominated by the Republican Party for so long, those services are provided, and they're provided efficiently and to the satisfaction of the citizens in those areas.
Are you saying sort of a suburban approach to urban problems?
Well, I'm just saying I think that the Republican Party offers an alternative way of managing local government.
To you, Seth, and you're joining us by telephone. Tell us about your Republican politics.
Well, for me, it goes back to 1994. I was in ninth grade, a civics class, where our teacher really encouraged us to get involved, learn about the candidates. And that was the year of the Contract with America, the Republican takeover of Congress for the first time in all those years under, you know, Bill Clinton's presidency. And to me, what really spoke to me was the issues of small government, personal responsibility, and getting the control out of Washington, D.C. into the local governments, into Philadelphia, the local communities. That's the areas where we can make a difference. You're closest to the voters and decision-making, and that's why I'm a Republican.
It has been more than 50 years, Joe, since one could say that the Republicans have dominated city politics in the city. And as I said in my intro, a pretty sizable disadvantage for the Republican Party in the city because of registration, 7-to-1. How do you overcome that?
Well, there was a time that the Republicans controlled the city 11-to-1, to the point that they would run candidates they would run Democrat candidates just to have candidates for the Republicans to go against. And corruption began to befall them more and more. And in the last year, I think we've seen 11 different Democrats either indicted or investigated. People are going to start getting fed up. And I believe that we need to be able to capitalize. You know, they say luck is where opportunity and preparation meet. And I think we're kind of getting to that precipice right now. I mean, we're really pushing an issue right now in the 170th district. We have a special election on March 24th. 26-year-old Martina White is our candidate. She's been endorsed by the FOP, endorsed by the firefighters, endorsed by many, many labor unions, endorsed by business leaders. We believe we're going to win that seat, and we need to take this one step at a time, one bite at the apple at a time. You know, we could start restoring faith back in the Republican Party to show them how good Republican government actually works. And frankly, It'll give us a voice in Harrisburg, which we really do not have. We have one. We have John Taylor.
Right.
There's 24 Democratic state representatives in the Democratic caucus. Only 83 members in the Democratic caucus. Almost one-third of them are from Philadelphia. And now we need to hire lobbyists for city council to go talk to state government. If we just increased our Republican representation, we would now have a voice in the majority caucus where we have none.
But, Dave, how do you overcome that 7-to-1 registration advantage if you're a Democrat or disadvantage if you're a Republican? And, you know, you only have to go back to some of these presidential elections and it's get out the Democratic vote in Philadelphia. How Philadelphia goes largely describes how Pennsylvania goes. How do you overcome that?
There are multiple ways, I think, of doing that. And you start small. And so you build off of an election from an election. And right now, if Martina White is successful in this election, that's a start. And that shows people that, one, the Republican Party is alive in Philadelphia, and it'll show people that it is nice for Philadelphia to have a seat at the table in the majority caucus in Harrisburg. The other way to do it is we really have to get a little bit better at defining ourselves as a local party.
Right.
And so when I talk about issues that everybody agrees with, keeping your streets safe, we have a problem with that in Philadelphia. Getting a better education, ours is was taken away from us years ago. And those are the types of things –
with the state takeover.
With the state takeover, sure. And those are the types of things that regular Philadelphians will agree with. The best part about the United States of America is you can vote if you want for a Democrat for president and Congress and still vote for your Republican for mayor or city council. You're not tied to one party, and it's our job as Republican leaders to make sure people know that and give them those options.
Seth, you described your politics as small government politics. That's the way that you view government. Is that a position you think that resonates with residents of Philadelphia?
I absolutely think the kind of voters who are for small government, I mean, it's regular families and people are leaving the city, would probably rather have more local control, smaller setup for government. If, for instance, the schools, like if we had local school boards in charge of the schools instead of this big bureaucracy running things and, you know, doing a one-size-fits-all type of solution for all of Philadelphia, rather than letting the parents, teachers, and communities decide what the schools need, that's the kind of local control that parents, families, students, teachers respond to, rather than the government getting involved with so many aspects of our lives. And schools are just one of them, but that's a great example to show where local control, local school boards, and families in charge rather than politicians is, you know, where we do get a lot of support when we talk to the people in the community.
Let me toss that to you, Joe, because as it stands now, there's almost nothing more important than figuring out how to fund schools in Philadelphia, how to make sure that all children get a quality education. Does having just a local school board, I don't mean just having a local school board, but just having a local school board, does it really address those critical issues?
I believe, you know, if we do go to like locally elected school boards, you know, they would actually have the power to tax, right? But right now they don't have the power to tax, and that creates a problem. And that actually was what kind of works out in the suburbs. There's really no hammer. But that being said, I mean, it does give people more interest and brings it to a much local level. Seth hit the nail right on the head. You can't have a one-size-fits-all approach to the city of Philadelphia. Is it more charters? Is it vouchers? You know, I mean, EITC and OSTC went far enough.
You've got to explain what those letters mean.
Educational, it's tax credit programs, essentially.
Gotcha. Earned that people, income.
Yeah, earned income tax credit and the opportunity scholarship tax credit program, which essentially businesses can pay their state taxes to, you know, fund. It's almost like a vouchers light is really what it came down to. And it was a way to get some Democrats on board that maybe not wanted to go against a teachers union, wanted to be pro-vouchers, but they came in and decided those kinds of things. We need to look at other alternatives. And right now, I feel like we don't have many other alternatives. I mean, even last week with the SRC meeting, I think we approved 5 charters.
We did.
Terzai was pushing for 16 to 20. The school, the PFT was pushing for 0. We end up with 5. No one wanted to take the quote dirty money that was $35 million, but we're broke, and now we're going to pick and choose where we're getting the money from.
But what's so interesting to me, Dave, is that I've had Democrats and liberals say, get rid of the School Reform Commission, which is essentially what the three of you are saying. So that doesn't seem like a necessarily Republican idea.
That's what people – I'm not necessarily saying that.
Okay.
I mean, right now my concern personally is we have a real problem. The school district needs money to operate. Every year there's debt after debt after debt. And my concern, before we worry about who's managing the district, because we could throw that management to somebody else, but if they still have the same exact problems, I sympathize with the SRC right now. When you're given a pile of debt, you need to get out of that first. And so as Republicans, and we claim to be financially conservative, our first responsibility ought to be to make sure that the SRC has the tools they need to actually run a district. And then we'll see who needs to be running the district.
Seth, let me go back to you and ask you about your position, or perhaps the local Republican Party's position on taxes in Philadelphia. How do you see that?
Well, I think the Democrats in charge never met a tax they didn't like. I mean, these taxes, and which is their answer, the Democrat Party is the only party kind of making decisions for the past 60 years, has a majority on city council, the mayor's office, everything. So when they come up with solutions to fix the budget problems, it's always a tax. It's never, you know, better spending or cutting or decreasing the growth of things. It's a temporary tax that ends up always becoming a permanent tax on our taxpayers and people who work or live in the city. And that's another reason, which is pushing people away. If you're a young family trying to figure out where to settle, you're looking at the school system, you're looking at the tax structure, you're looking at jobs, you're looking at crime, you know, I think the suburbs are calling a little more so than, you know, a higher tax city where, you know, you don't have as many job opportunities, more of tax money of your own money instead of deciding how to spend your own money is going to go to the government to, you know, have these same politicians with the same answers making the decisions. So that's where we just have to talk to the people on the streets, you know, as ward leaders, that's what we do. And we're building, you know, meeting our neighbors and building those committees in the different areas and neighborhoods of the town that going forward, we can, you know, change the culture of Philadelphia from a tax and spend city to a more fiscally conservative, you know, balanced budget city.
Joe, I know you want to add something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll jump in on this. Last year, I was profiled in a Pew Charitable Trust study about Philadelphia's changing middle class. And one of the issues that I really pushed in on, I live in Mayfair. I'm born and raised in Mayfair. My sister was obviously born in Mayfair with me. She's moved to South Jersey. She has a beautiful house, four bedrooms, in-ground pool, pays roughly $8,000 a year in property taxes.
And this is New Jersey?
This is New Jersey, $8,000 a year in property taxes. I'm in Mayfair in a twin, about a quarter of the size of her house, and I pay about $2,200 a year in property taxes. So, okay, so you're looking, it's about $6,000 difference, right? But then I also get hit with a wage tax. For my wife and I, we're probably about $5,000 to $6,000 a year. So right now, me and my sister are even. But by the way, now I have to decide whether I'm going to send my kid to the local public school. No offense to local public school, but I'm not doing that. So now I have to either hit a lottery to get into a charter school where my one son is who has special needs. He's in a charter school, but my other son is now in parochial school. That's another $3,000 a year. So right now I'm at $11,000 a year, not to include my business income tax. I'm sorry, it's now the business privilege tax now, and it's the biggest income and receipts tax. Now I have to pay a stormwater charge, which is an extra $400 a year, sales tax, cigarette, I don't smoke, but a cigarette tax. I mean, these taxes, 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 all for the benefit of saying I live in the city of Philadelphia in a house half the size in a school, frankly, that I'm probably not getting the same amount what I get in my sister's school.
Well, hold on to that thought, only because we have to take a very short break. We are talking with Joe DeFelice, Seth Coffer, and David Crawley, and they are Republicans here in the city of Philadelphia, a minority, if I can say that. And we are talking to them on Ballot Talks on Radio Times, talking about how to build a Republican Party or rebuild a Republican Party and some of their ideas and solutions to some of the city's biggest problems. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Ballot Talks on Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. And we're taking a look at the state of the Republican Party in Philadelphia. And our guests are Joe DeFelice. He's a local attorney, also executive director of the Philadelphia Republican City Committee. Seth Coffer joining us by telephone. He's a physician, a Republican leader of the city's second ward. And also with us, Dave Crawley. He is a Republican state committeeman and a lobbyist with Triad Strategies. We have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. I see lots of tweets here as well. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. I don't think anyone listening, no matter what their party affiliation, would argue with you about the need to reduce taxes in Philadelphia. Seth, I think part of the question is if you have less money coming into the coffers, where do you make those cuts? And I don't know if there's a Republican point of view on this, but how does the city do with less?
Absolutely. I don't think you need to do with less. You need to bring in businesses that are going to be paying the taxes to help give us more input, more, plus on the ledger versus paying out. So the way we encourage businesses to come into the city are by decreasing the regulation, decreasing the taxes. Businesses make business decisions. So if we're trying to bring in energy companies, international companies, turn Philadelphia into an energy hub and an international hub, which our Republican council people and the few leaders we have of the Republican Party are trying to modernize the city and turn it into more of a business-friendly environment and to have those enticements to bring business in rather than pushing them out with regulations, taxes, sort of the union stuff that goes on in the city. And, you know, we all can disagree on specific issues of that with even within the party. We're a Big Ten party that, you know, has a lot that ties us together, but we all have different kind of ideas on that. But a business climate where businesses and jobs are coming into the city is the way we close the budget deficit.
How would you close it, Dave?
Well, Marty, I think that's a great question, that when you, at least the one you posed to Seth there, because when I talk to my friends and even elected officials from the suburbs, a lot of them say, you know, some of our taxes are a little bit higher than what you're paying in Philadelphia. However, we get this, 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 and this from our local government, and so we don't mind paying it. And right now in Philadelphia, our tax structure is so convoluted and so broad that it's hard for us to really understand it. And so to get to the crux of this issue, when I ran for state representative, one of my plans was require local governments to go to zero-based and performance-based budgets. Before we talk about cuts, before we talk about increases, we need to know if we're spending efficiently what we have. Because not one person that I talk to in the suburbs who pays higher taxes complains about it when they realize what they're getting. And we don't know what we're getting. We don't know what the bang for our buck is in Philadelphia. So we need to first be responsible and study these. And these aren't outside-the-box ideas that I'm coming up with. These are studied, tried, and true, zero-based, performance-based budgets. We do it at home, and we don't even know it in our own – because we don't think about it. It's just prudent financial stewardship. We need to do that at the local level. And then I bet you we'll come to some cuts.
Let me put something else on the table here, and we were actually talking about this before going on the air. Joe, I'll put this to you, which is how much do you think your party, your Republican Party in Philadelphia, has to contend with, you know, the Stephen Kings of the world who make comments about, you know, immigrants with calves the size of melons or other comments that have been made about rape and things like that. How much do you have to address that and counter that as a member of the Republican Party?
You know, we deal with it on a regular basis. I do feel that, you know, our party is our own unique brand, and that's up to us to further that brand and create that brand. I believe Republicans in the city are becoming more and more libertarian in nature. You know, we want the government out of our bedroom, but we also want the government out of our pockets. I mean, and throwing it back to what Dave and Seth talked about earlier, I mean, it's not about increasing taxes. It's about increasing the taxpayers. More taxpayers to come in, that's more money coming in. So we don't necessarily have to, and we can look at things we're going to cut. Last year, the city in the budget spent $150,000 to study the use of salt and take out restaurants. I mean, seems like that's two fireman jobs or two cop jobs right there. I mean, we're talking about cutting firemen, but now we're, you know, I mean, there's wasteful spending. We need to see where that waste is and find out where it's allocated. I mean, even city council's own budget, what they allocate to different departments. Let's talk about where that waste is and let's look to see what we can do without. And I'm not saying we do without all these programs. There's plenty of programs that are beneficial.
And this is also a city with a very high poverty rate. And you know, there's no easy solution. Seth, I'll toss this first to you. There's no easy solution to that, and mayors and others have come up with plans and ways to address it. It's still a pretty serious problem here in the city of Philadelphia. How does the GOP look at that, Seth?
Well, there's always going to be people in any kind of government, city, community that need an extra help, and we're not against that for people who are in a situation that need that safety net, help from the local government, and that's a certainly valid use of some resources. But I think there's so much abuse and people that, I mean, I'm in the medical field, I'm just saying that I get a lot of people coming in with bus accidents, want to be on disability for, you know, life and not get another job. And just, you know, these are professional people are abusing our system. And we want the money for the people who need it, actually, and pass those tests for the income levels and need the extra help in medical insurance and all those other things we perfectly agree with and want to help those people. But we don't want to help able-bodied people who can go out, work just like the rest of us. Right. I mean, those are people who should be out there, you know, working and not getting a job off just free money from the government.
Well, and Seth, I'm sure everyone listening is nodding their head saying they absolutely agree with you. It looks like, Dave, you want to add something.
Exactly. Nobody would disagree with Seth, but where the Republican Party fell short for the longest time and where we got the moniker of sort of being heartless was because that's where we would leave it. The Republican Party would never try and solve the issues surrounding poverty. And that's why I'm so pleased that the majority leader of the House of Representatives, Dave Reed from Indiana County, when he was the chair last session of the policy committee, took the Republicans on the road and went into some of the most downtrodden neighborhoods in this commonwealth, including right here in Philadelphia, to study poverty, to look at those issues. And now as the majority leader, he's taking what he learned and he's going to implement different policies to make sure the Republican Party is proactive and compassionate about this. So that means giving people an education, number one.
Let me ask you, and I'm only because I'm looking at the two of you, you're two white guys. I don't know, Seth Kielkopf, if you're, I assume you're a white guy as well. Is that something that the Republican Party in the city has to address? And I don't know how diverse your party is or not, Joe.
Well, frankly, you know, we try not to play identity politics in the Republican Party if people are the best qualified to run. But if we're going to go down this road, we'll go down this road. I mean, I think the Republican Party's actually been the Republican Party that's been piercing the glass ceiling in this city. You know, we're the first party to run a Hispanic on a citywide basis for a row office. Danny Alvarez 2 years ago, first party to run a mayor, a woman for mayor. Our current candidate for sheriff is a gay guy. We're the first row office to put forth a gay person as at the front of their. Last year we ran Megan Rath and Armand James for Congress here in the city. Millennials. I mean, we run. We're the ones that run the millennials. We're the ones that minorities take leadership positions in our party. And that we're not afraid to run at a young age people that are ready and willing to lead. Terry Tracy, when he ran for city controller, was 31 years old. Al Schmidt, his first time out, 36 years old. I mean, we're running younger, energetic people, and they come from a diversity background. We're the first party to have an Asian city councilman. So, I mean
– David O.
Yes.
Let me reintroduce the three of you. That's Joe DeFelice joining us by telephone, Seth Coffer. And also with us here in our Philadelphia studio, Dave Crawley. They are all Republicans here in the city of Philadelphia and not an entirely endangered species, but certainly one that has been under threat in the last couple of decades. And we asked them to join us on Ballot Talks on Radio Times to find out some of their ideas about how to address some of the very challenging issues facing the city. And I do want to talk about some of the candidates that are running or that you want to run as well. But first, let me get some callers in, and I do want to read some of our tweets as well. We have, looks like David from Central New Jersey joining us on Radio Times.
Oh,
hi, David.
Thank you, Marty.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my question is, why would any Philadelphian looking across the river in New Jersey with structurally the most powerful governorship in the country, with a Republican who we had so much hopes to change these outrageous taxes and car insurance, why would any Philadelphian think that a move to Republican power would make anything better?
Whether Chris Christie is your model, I think that's what I'm hearing, David, from your question. Can I toss that to you,
Jim? Yeah, man, I can name five people. They moved from Philadelphia to New Jersey because I guess they like the government over there a little bit better. I mean, I believe that they would look to the Republican Party because they're sick of high taxes, they're sick of corruption, and they want better government, and frankly, the schools. That's one of the issues I think that they could move to New Jersey. And some actually are coming to Jersey. But if they're going to not come to Jersey, they'll vote Republican here to change the way the culture is going.
You know, I was thinking about the fact that New York, which I'm assuming is probably is in many ways as Democratic and probably as liberal as Philadelphia, maybe even more so, elected Rudolph Giuliani as their mayor. Bloomberg, I think, was a Republican for a while before he came an independent. To you, Dave, I mean, do you think there are some lessons for the Republican Party in this town that can be learned from New York?
Yeah. Bloomberg, when he was a Republican, was a great example because he talked about the issues that I'm discussing right now. He didn't get bogged down in these social issues and these international issues that the Republicans are identified with in Washington. He talked about putting people to work locally. He talked about a tax structure that benefits not just business but residents of the city of New York. Before him, Mayor Giuliani cleaned up the streets, you know, and was the crime-fighting mayor in New York. These are things people identify with, and that's, I think, you've noticed the theme of everything I've been saying. It's what people want here at home.
We have a tweet from Feldy saying, your guests think that Philadelphia citizens are overtaxed. They think it's fair that Comcast barely pays any property tax. And what about institutions like Penn making pilot payments to pay their fair share? This gets kind of a bit in the weeds, but there is a sense, I think, of unfairness when it comes to taxes in Philadelphia. Dave?
Comcast and the University of Pennsylvania are some of the largest employers in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. They employ people in southeastern Pennsylvania to the degree that many others do not, most others do not. Because they're able to afford to do that, they help stimulate our economy. The University of Pennsylvania provides police protection, picks up trash, paves roads out in West Philadelphia and University City. These are things that they do that the local government is not able to do out there. So if this,
so you're okay with that?
If we're creating jobs and making our streets safe based on this, this is the type of outside of the box thing that we need, because government can't do everything. And if somebody wants to be a good business neighbor, they better be. And I tell you, Penn is.
Seth, do you want to weigh in on that at all?
I pretty much agree with Dave said. I mean, you may not pay taxes, but you have different things that you provide to the city. So it is in the weeds, like you said, because it's very intricate about the relationship that those businesses and universities have with the city. But that's something that I think can be on the table and looked at as well, because if we're really going to balance this budget and make financial sanity here, everyone's got to show what they're bringing to the table, and everyone has to pay their fair share. I don't think anyone's against that. But I just want to go back to what you said about the numbers. 7-1, the voter registration we keep hearing about, I don't think that number is as bad as it sounds like. I mean, there are people willing to vote for the right Republican candidates in that 170th district. Our Hispanic Republican, you know, district attorney candidate won the district against a Democrat in the election for district attorneys in that same district where we have the special election right now. So if we find the right candidates and we talk to the people, there is definitely move for change out there with the right people and the right ideas. And I see it the most. You said we're all three white guys, but we're actually all three 30-something young people that live in the city. And we are out there meeting other young people that are maybe liberals, Democrats, that feel the same thing. They're shut out of the process by this big Democrat, power machine that has been set up that can win elections, but then when they're governing, they don't come up with new solutions. They're out of that same situation where they're trying to run or knock out the same incumbents that keep getting reelected and hold on to their power spots. So we have a lot in common. I think that's the coalition that's going to build together of younger people on both sides of it. And even the non-affiliated voters and independent voters are a very large percentage of the city. So even also Republicans that we know that may be conservative or share our philosophy register as Democrats to vote in their primaries just because of the way the city is set up. So there's a lot of fluidity with the registrations, and those coalitions will show up in the right race for the right people, and we see it happening. So I just think that we all kind of agree that the same power structure, the same Democrat political machine that's been in place for so long is crumbling, and they're sort of losing their edge. And this is where the young people are stepping up and challenging them in primaries on the Democrat side. And we in Young Involve Philadelphia or other events that are bipartisan that invite us to come to, we get great response from that younger generation of Philadelphia voters. And that's what's going to change this structure when we all pull together and throw out the dinosaurs that have been there forever.
And let me just toss out the word turnout. And yes, Democrats may have a big advantage in the city, but if you can't turn out your voters, that advantage really doesn't mean much, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, in the 2011 election, I believe the Republicans turned out a 33% while the Democrats turned out a 20%. Now, granted, 33% of 120 is a hell of a lot smaller than 20% of, 700,000. That being said, we have been able to increase our turnout. I mean, when Al Schmidt ran for city controller in 2009, he was able to capture 28% of the vote, which we were only at 12% of the registration. So we almost triple performed, the registration in the city. So if small targeted races, district attorney, I mean, you could have won that race with 80,000 votes. I mean, I believe that we can turn out our voters in the 170th. We've won that district before. It was held by George Kenney. Part of it was held by Denny O'Brien. Danny Alvarez won that when he, as Seth said, when he ran for district attorney. Brian O'Neill routinely wins that district. We believe that we're going to win that district on March 24th, and that's where we start.
Let me get Jennifer from Fairmount to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Jennifer. This is Ballot Talks on Radio Times. Go ahead, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling because I've been a resident of Philadelphia for almost 15 years now, and I have a major problem. I'm originally from New York, and I have a major problem with people talking about how Giuliani and Bloomberg are the standard bearers for what Republicans should be doing here in Philadelphia. Regardless of whether or not I would ever vote Republican, it is a problem that two mayors who made it a point of courting the business community, the real estate community, and to the exclusion of minorities and to the exclusion of people who are working class, are being venerated by your party.
Well, you know what, Jennifer, hold on one second, I don't want to do a show about New York City. I mean, we really are talking about Philadelphia, but I hear your point, which is she doesn't want in Philadelphia what she saw happening in New York, which was is from her perspective focusing on business. And I don't want to get caught up comparing these two cities. But since Dave, you've obviously thought about this stuff for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, people were.
You have to be inclusive, right?
We have to be inclusive, but I mean. People were put to work under Bloomberg and people remained safe under Giuliani, and we can't forget that. But to Jennifer's point, they're not they were not perfect. And we need to – you just learn and you take from what they've done that was right. And we really need to be much more inclusive in Philadelphia. We're one of the most diverse cities in this country, and that's what makes us great. They call us the city of neighborhoods, and that's not for nothing. Mm. We need to embrace that. And so she's absolutely right. And I don't think that we ought to take everything Bloomberg and Giuliani has done, but take what they've done right. And you cannot take that from them.
About a minute before our break here. And Joe, let me go back to you. There is a mayor's race coming up, but do you all have a candidate?
Well, frankly, the answer is no right now. What we've decided to do is we met last Tuesday night. We heard from four different candidates, three of which are under the age of 40, and we decided to right now not endorse. So right now we're pushing for an open primary. We feel it would benefit our party to have these candidates go out there and meet people rather than, fixing this game before it even gets started. You know, four young, energetic candidates that want to go out there and meet people and talk about what their brand of Philadelphia Republican is. That helps us having surrogates going out into the community. And we could talk about it after the break. We did the same thing with city council at large.
Fair enough. And that is Joe DeFelice. He's executive director of the Philadelphia Republican City Committee, joining us here in our Philadelphia studio. Seth Coffer joining us by phone. He's a physician and Republican leader of the city's second ward. And Dave Crawley with us. With Joe DeFelice, he's a lobbyist with Triad Strategies, also a Republican state committeeman. We are going to take that very short break and then get back to our conversation. A lot of people that want to join us at 1-888-477-9499. I see a lot of emails as well, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. And do stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Ballot Talks on Radio Times. We're talking about how to build or rebuild a Republican Party in a very Democratic town. That town would be the city of Philadelphia. And again, our guests are David Crawley, Seth Coffer, and Joe DeFelice. We have a lot of people that want to join us. But I do want to – and I want to make sure you're back in on the conversation as well, Seth. But as you said, Joe, you listened to a number of candidates for mayor, decided not to endorse. I mean, does that mean that they weren't – they're not ready for prime time? You didn't want to – sort of put your brand with their names?
Not necessarily. I mean, we felt that there wasn't enough. We still needed to know about the candidate, so we decided to let them go through a different kind of interview process. Rather than coming to speak to 66 ward leaders, they can actually go out and speak to the people, and let's let the people of the Philadelphia Republican Party determine who our candidate is going to be. Like I said, we also did it for city council at large. We have seven qualified candidates. Any one of them could walk in tomorrow and be a city councilman. Mm-hmm. I'm not naive, but I hope to elect five. I think that the Philadelphia Republican Party should try and put every effort to elect five, not just the two that are mandated by the city charter to a minority party. And frankly, those seven surrogates, because after May, many of the Democrats are going to drop off. They're going to go down the shore and you're not going to see them again. I can remember going to I was in the heart of West Philadelphia at a candidates forum in September of 2011, and there were five Republican city council at large candidates sitting at the table and only one Democrat. The other four Democrats didn't feel that it was necessary to come. They figured they had it in the bag. But you know what? To have the Republicans going out and talking to those voters might have been the first time they ever heard from Republicans before. And you know what? There's probably people on your show right now today saying, you know what? These guys don't sound that bad. And you know, maybe this is a different – so we just need to get our – not only maybe tune up our message, but increase our number of messengers going out there.
Seth, let me toss a quote that I ran across. This is from Rob Gleason, chair of the Pennsylvania Republican Party, saying that there was a dearth of top-notch Republicans in Philadelphia, probably meant Republican candidates in Philadelphia. Do you think he's right about that? Does that hurt your cause?
No, absolutely. I was one of the ward leaders at that meeting where the candidates came up to speak to us, and I was super impressed by a lot of them. They were talking really intelligently about urban Philadelphia politics, knowing the issues and talking about big tent, bringing people in from all different backgrounds and all different parts of the city. And I think, to back up what Joe said, that really distinguishes us from the Democrat Party. We don't have our party bosses just selecting the candidates who we think are going to, you know, fit right. We let the committee people, we're letting the voters, we're having an open primary and letting the candidates go out and make the case for themselves. We're not, you know, picking them like I was saying earlier, what the Democrat machine seems to do. They just have one person step up and fill when someone retires, and it's just this ongoing game of the same people, you know, in a different year, basically. And it's the same kind of answers and ideas, and nothing really changes. So we're sick of party bosses picking candidates. We want the people to choose and support who they want to support, and it'll play out well for us. Those are good candidates that are going to be out there giving our message and speaking to the voters on the streets.
Let me see what Matt from Glenside has to say. Matt, go ahead. You're on Ballot Talks on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. Love your show.
Thank you.
As a Republican, what I'm hearing being discussed in Philadelphia, you know, also concerns me on a national level, and that is, and these guys have spoken a little bit about it, where they're trying to focus on fiscal issues. But I think a big divide among people who are not Republicans is all the social issues that kind of a silent minority of Republicans, you know, always are thrusting into the news, whether it be, you know, gay marriage or, you know, abortion or any of these type of social issues which gear around, you know, individual social morals. And I'm wondering how do they, in building the Republican Party in Philadelphia, how do they deal with the perception and what's being seen on a national level to bring people in, whether it's immigration or anything else?
Sure. And we touched on this earlier, but I think it bears a further.
I heard that, yeah.
No, that's okay. It's a good follow up there. Seth, can I toss that first to you?
Well, I agree that that's the Democrat playbook, and that's what the media likes to focus on, the differences of candidates or people or things that divide us. And the Democrats really make their money and make their votes on dividing people, telling special interests or minorities how they're going to help that group. Whereas we as Republicans just don't want to play that game. We want to be above that and say we have something for everyone. We're not going to pick winners and losers. We're not going to divide people and try to separate up into a coalition of 51% of these different groups that we're giving special laws and special ideas to and special favors to. We want to help everyone in the city. And we do that with policies that aren't splitting people up and dividing them. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm a gay Republican, I'm a Jewish Republican, but that is not how I vote, and that's, you know, I'm not a single issue voter in any way whatsoever. We have people like that throughout the party, and it doesn't, people in our party don't judge me by that, or has nothing to do with what I bring to the party and what we do as a party. That's just a side issue. So we judge people on their merits. We want to help all people, and you can get ahead in the Republican Party, and, you know, we can solve problems by coming together with the, like the caller said, for fiscal issues where we are, I think, what most people are looking for, fiscal sanity. That's what we focus on, but the Democrats have to focus on those other issues that split us, and that's kind of how they rev up and get their turnout of voters.
But, and I don't want to spend the whole hour on this, Seth, but it seems like there are a number of Republicans that give ammunition to those positions. And, you know, yes, you can say the media focuses too much on that, but they're the ones that are saying these kinds of things and giving, in a sense, the ammunition to the media. Anything you want to add to that, Dave?
Sure.
Let me just give Dave, and I do want to get back to some callers and comments.
I agree and disagree with Seth. I agree that the issues that matter are the ones that talk about our, you know, our pocketbooks, how we run our government locally. But because voters in Philadelphia still care about those social issues, we have an obligation to respond, and values matter. But the thing that we all enjoy as local Republicans is that no matter what your values are on those big issues. So, for example, I'm a Republican who supports marriage equality. Doesn't matter at the local level. And
because those are people, not, in a sense, city council
right.
or the mayor
and
doesn't
so
vote on
if
things
people
like
ask
that.
Me my position on that, I owe it to them as somebody putting my name forth to ask for their votes, you know, as a state committee man at least. I owe it to them to answer them so they know what my values are.
Mm-hmm.
But in Philadelphia, the Republican Party will accept that. But the issues that really matter to us are, again, the schools, education, crime, making government work.
We have an email from Carol. I'll toss this to you, Joe. She says, if the Republican Party would help the school district, would they see that the percentage spent per student on charter schools equals the percentage spent per student in public schools? And again, this is complicated, but it's also there is a bit of a difference. And of course, when a student in a public school goes to a charter school, some of the money follows them over there, and the public schools often feel like they are left sort of holding the bag. Do you have a solution about funding in schools?
Well, I mean, frankly, I think there is a yearning for charter schools. I mean, there. My wife is a high school. She teaches at a charter school in the city, a high school teacher, and she sees it. I mean, and a lot of what she has is she gets a lot of the best of the public school kids that don't want to go to the local public school. And she, frankly, gets a lot of the worst of some of the Catholic school kids that maybe get kicked out of the Catholic school. So it actually creates an interesting cross section of the population. But she gets kids from all over that parents are just trying to hit a lottery at some school because they don't want to send them to the local public school. And if there's a thirst for this, I don't understand why we push it out. Now, maybe charter schools aren't the answer. But you know what? What is happening now is not the answer either. So there are other solutions and ideas down the line.
Let me see what Walter from West Philadelphia has to say. And Walter, go ahead. You're on Ballot Talks on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think that the Republican Party is a realistic option if people would just, get out of the habit of pulling the big D lever every 2 years before an election. And actually, see that, we offer real candidates and real ideas. I've been a Republican here in West Philadelphia for over 30 years. And it's because we have had one party control here for 70 years. And all I see is the same crooks and the same he's getting reelected over and over.
Well, let me just stop you there, Walter, only because as far as I know, yes, some crooks have gotten elected and reelected, but you can't make that sort of broad sweep statement about all people that are running this government or even all Democrats. But he does raise an interesting point about the sort of habit of voting. And also, there was a Republican machine that ran the town. You could say there's sort of a Democratic machine that runs this town. I mean, how do you get a city, and we're talking about Philadelphia, where you have two viable parties that can really offer alternatives? If I could toss that back to you, Joe.
Well, we need to start electing people. Frankly, I think if you can start electing good candidates and create personal followings, I believe that people will then begin to follow. So they stop voting down party lines. They start voting for the candidates. If we can stop the straight ticket, which Walter alluded to. Mm-hmm. I see it every election. You know, Mitt Romney got 59 divisions across the city of Philadelphia, got zero votes for Mitt Romney. I worked for the Romney campaign, in full disclosure. And, I got hit with a lot. Now, that can't be possible. That's voter fraud. And do I believe that voter fraud exists? I honestly do. That being said, in those races, I believe that it was possible that he got zero votes in those 59 divisions. I mean, they were poor African-American Democrat divisions. And did we expect that they're going to vote for the rich white Republican? The chances are probably not. And there's 1,687 divisions in the city. 59 is a small fraction, of that. But if we can start putting forth candidates where people will split that straight D vote, then we can begin to, I believe, grow the party back again to a point where we're at least competing at a much higher level and even the playing field.
I wonder, the Democrats are going to be coming to town in the summer of, 2016 for the Democratic National Convention. Seth, is that going to be a distraction for your party, the Republican Party in this city?
I think it's going to be a distraction for the whole city. They're going to take over, and I feel sorry kind of for how crazy it might be. As a former delegate who was in Tampa for the Republican National Convention, the city sort of gets very inundated with a lot of people. But I think, we're for anything that supports the local economy. I don't know how much it'll translate to Pennsylvania votes or how much it'll get Philadelphia involved or not. I think that remains to be seen. But I think you'll kind of be surprised by how well we do in 2016. It's going to be a good year coming for us. We're building the ground operation already with things that we've done in the past few elections to update our voter applications and how we reach voters and how we do our street list and get out the vote. So So the Democrats are going to do what they have to do, and I think they chose Philadelphia almost because they see that trend in Pennsylvania starting to slide the other way by how many state representatives we elected, a record number at the state level, and we're going to elect another one with Martina White this next month in the 170th. So they're starting to see the tide turn, and if we keep it close in Philadelphia like we know we can do, I think Pennsylvania will go red in 2016.
We have a comment from Joshua. He says, I'm a small business owner and a gay man. I'd rather pay the taxes and go through the regulations before I ever vote for a Republican. Their national party says horrible things about gay people. And as you said, Dave, you're a marriage equality Republican.
Oh, yeah, I cringe.
But this is a problem, is it not, for your—
And he's absolutely right. And I cringe whenever national Republicans— and I respect anybody's opinion, you know, but I cringe when that's brought down to all of us and we're sort of painted with that broad brush, because I am a marriage equality Republican and a lot of us exist, especially here in the city of Philadelphia. And it's really saddening to know that somebody, doesn't matter what party, but somebody's allowed to be painted with a broad brush because of some frankly crazy comments, because there are a lot of my friends that do not support marriage equality, but they'll never make these outlandish, bigoted comments that are unfortunately spread across the news. They're the ones that get the attention. And this Republican apologizes to the he emailed him for those types of hurtful statements that are made.
Let me toss things back to you, Joe, and I'm looking at the clock here as well. So a couple of months before the primary, what will you and your party, the Republican City Committee, what will you be doing for the next couple of months?
Well, for the next 4 weeks, we'll be focusing entirely on the 170th Legislative District to bring that seat back to Philadelphia, to increase the majority in the House from 119 to 120, which will take us up to like 35 or 37 House majority differences. And then once we capitalize on that, we'll roll that right into our primary elections, electing judges.
And this is that Brendan Boyle had that seat, and
yes,
he's now in Congress, so it's an open seat.
It's an open seat. We believe we're going to win that, and then we're going to try to push forward to the special election in the state Senate, reelecting Al Schmidt, city commissioner, and really having candidates spreading our message throughout the city, whether it's for city council, large district council, or the mayor's race, and to really be in the conversation so that Seth pointed out, so that in 2016 we're in a position to, keep the margins great, not as large here in Philadelphia, so that we can capture the 20 electoral votes here.
And to you, Seth, and I'm looking at the clock here, what do you think, I mean, whoever this mayoral candidate's going to be, and of course that's the big race here in Philadelphia, what do you think that candidate has to have to appeal to voters?
I think our candidate will show up and go door to door, street to street, neighborhood to neighborhood, given the opportunity to show up on shows like this, contact voters through social media, getting to the voters and changing that bad connotation of the Republican Party and what we can do to actually help people in this city. If people are happy with what's gone on for the past 60 years, then they should keep voting Democrat. But if you want to see some real change and reform, listen to our candidates. And I'm supporting specifically one of them, and I think she's going to be great. She's talking out there as a young female and going to get a lot of – she's the one who was mentioning the Big Ten politics and going door to door. And I just believe we'll have a lot – if we're given the chance by media places like you and we're doing our own free media things, we are get the message out and the voters will see a difference in the Republican Party's candidates this time around.
Dave, I'm giving you the last word. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Give us a chance. Give the Republican Party a chance. You know, and this is not an indictment on the Democratic Party, because as Joe alluded to earlier, we sort of for a long time gave up on Philadelphia.
We meaning
the Republican Party. But the Republican Party under the leadership of State Representative John Taylor and Joe, we're back and we're offering an alternative that people could at least give us a chance that I think that they'd be surprised.
And I should add that we had invited John Taylor to join us, but he's very busy in Harrisburg. I think there's an important vote today.
It's the liquor bill.
The liquor bill. It's back, apparently. Well, my thanks to the three of you for joining us today in Radio Time. Seth Coffer, thanks so much for joining us by phone.
Thank you.
And Joe DeFelice, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you.
And Dave Crawley, rounding out our trio of Republicans in this hour of Ballot Talks on Radio Times. Dave, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. You can send us an email. You can download a podcast of the program. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And there's probably a Facebook conversation taking place as I speak. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thanks for joining us in this first first hour of Ballot Talks on Radio Times. Radio Times coming up next with Hour 2. Stay with us. We'll be right back.